Hallelujah. It's good to know that you're saved. Good to know that I'm not going to hell, that I have a home in heaven, that I don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow because God's going to allow us to have a plan. Let the young people go to class right now as they go next door with Miss Melissa. And we're going to turn to Acts chapter 17, if you would please. Acts chapter 17. And we're going to talk about our giving Father. Now, all the month of January, we talked about we're going to be focusing on stewardship, our responsibility to the Lord as stewards of God, and also missions and how we can be a missionary in our own neighborhood. We have different speakers coming throughout this month or tonight and next week and the week after that. Every Sunday we have special speakers from missionaries and evangelists and other people that will be here to share the Word of God with us. And we're going to be focusing in this area. So today I just want to talk about our giving Father. Now, what was your dad like? I hope you knew your dad. I know some people, they didn't have a dad or didn't grow up in that type of situation. But if you had one, what was he like? Now, I hope you can remember kind of a little bit about what your dad was like. I know what my dad was like. He was a dad that taught me by example how I could be a good dad. And so the things that I brought my daughters up in and knowing and doing in our life, a lot of it had to do with how I was raised and how God, and how my dad treated me at home. My dad was a good dad. He didn't beat his kids unless we needed it. And we needed it a lot because two boys with four sisters, we're always antagonizing them and picking on them and everything. And I was the youngest of the family, by the way, so I was the good one and the perfect one. And I had, no sin in my life with my dad. There wasn't anything I could do wrong. And so I got away with a lot. But my dad, he knew how to take care of some things, and he would come with his with his belt when we needed it. But he would also be a loving dad that would take us fishing and do things with us, spend time with us, even though he worked a lot of hours at the plant, and he sometimes worked double time, and at that time he used to call it graveyard shifts and stuff. They don't call it that anymore, makes everybody too scared, so they call it the midnight shift. It doesn't matter, you ain't getting any sleep, is what it means. You're gonna be up all night all working. And he would do that, all day and all night sometimes. And just to provide for his family, take care of his children. There were six in our household. He did a lot for us. But one thing I know about my dad is he was a good dad. He was a faithful dad to my mom and to his kids and his family. And he did things. He tried to do his best to do things right for his family. I never caught him doing anything wrong. He wasn't a smoker. He wasn't a drinker. He wasn't an alcoholic. Just because he was Mexican doesn't mean alcoholic. Amen? Come on now. Support me in this. Amen. He was a good dad. He didn't beat his wife and everything else. Everybody talks about, oh, you Mexican, you must beat your wife. No, we just always want to. But that doesn't mean we do. No, I'm just kidding. She's next door, so I can say that. Amen. But he was a good dad, and he showed us the right way. But our father is a giving father. He's a good father as well. There's no one better than our father. He wants to give us some examples in our life as well that we are to follow. And we're going to talk about how our Father is so giving. And there's a lot of verses that you can use. And I'm just going to highlight five today. One of them is in Acts chapter 17. Let me read this for you in verse number 24. It starts out by saying, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, that the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply he might feel after him, and if him, though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. God, number one, has given me life. That those verses say that he's the creator of all things, of heaven and earth. So if you were taught evolution, you were taught wrong, because the Bible says God is right. Let God be true and all men a liar. And he said, I created all things, heaven and earth. He created it all. And he created all life, it says here. He said he giveth to all life and breath and all things. God not only gave me a life, he gave me physical life with this body. He gave me ability to breathe when I was born on this earth, just like we had brother Steve just had his second grandbaby, right? And another girl, praise God for granddaughters, and they rule, and he has two now, and praise God for that, and the mom and baby are doing fine. But you know, that life was given to that baby by God. God gave that baby life. And physical life. But not only physical life, God gave me spiritual life as well. Because in physical life, he breathed into man. It tells us in Genesis, he breathed the living soul into Adam. But we all have that breath of life. But by the spiritual birth, he bled life into man. He gave us the blood so that we can have everlasting life. So God gives every person life. He gives them physical life, but he also gives you spiritual life. Now, it's up to you to accept that life, but he wants you to have spiritual life as well, because he shed his blood for you. God gave me life. My Father gave me life, spiritual and physical. But not only that, God every day gives me provision in my life. Matthew 6:31 says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or withal shall we be clothed? Now, I tried this with my wife before. She said, what are we going to eat? I said, take no thought of what you shall eat. No, it didn't work. But she just slapped me. But I thought about it. Take no thought, woman. What you shall eat. It don't work. But in this scripture, it makes sense when we read the rest of it. It says, whither shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all things, all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I love the word shall in the Bible. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. That was me. Whosoever, it says here, that God gives to all people all things that they shall, and it shall be added unto you if you'll just seek him first. God says, I want to give you life, physical and spiritual, but I want to provide for you every need. You know, sometimes as parents, we want to provide our children everything they need plus some. Sometimes we want to give. They're so good sometimes. You just want to give them more. But God says, look, I'm going to give you everything that you need. Not necessarily be everything that you always wanted in life, but it's going to be everything you need in life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to put on or wear. I got all that taken care of. You just seek me first. Put me number one in your life, and I'll give you everything that you ever needed. He'll provide for you. I hope your dad, your mom, your parents provided for you when you're growing up. But I know that they tried. I'm sure they did the best they could and tried to provide for you what you needed as you're growing up. Clothes for school, a perfect lunch kit so you'll meet, have the, I don't even know what it was when I was growing up. I can't remember that far back. Let's say it's Superman. I don't remember what it was. We had those metal lunch boxes that now they're toxic and stuff. You can't eat the paint like we used to be able to eat. And so, I don't know what changed. You know, why did it change? Anyway, so he gave us life. He gave us provision. But also the Bible tells us that our Heavenly Father gives us protection as well. And I'm so glad for that. We need it in this world. Psalm 91, you ought to mark that. It's a really good chapter to remind you. When you start getting in trouble, when you start seeing things happen in your life you don't understand, you start hearing on the news about things happening in our land, terrorist attacks and people shooting people in their office buildings and all kind of craziness going on around here. Look at Psalm 91 and refresh that in your memory every day. He says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. There's that word shall again. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Where else would you like to be except in the shadow of God? That means you're so close to Him, He's right there, you can see His shadow over you. That's how God wants you to be, right next to Him, because He wants to protect you in everything. But the rest of that verse says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust? Surely He shall deliver thee out of the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You ever hear things, it just sounds like a bunch of noise. It sounds like, I don't know what's going on, earthquakes and fires and Ebola and all this other stuff. They got people started freaking out and the things with the mosquitoes and Nile virus and all this other stuff. They were all going to die. But yeah, it's not even got to that point yet. It's going to have some pestilence come around and it may scare you, but think about all these things. That noisome pestilence, it says, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Why does God give us that promise? Because He wants you to know He is your protector. Your Father is a giving Father. He gave you protection. Just like you try to protect your children at home and at school and at the playground. You see somebody trying to pick on your kid. All you want to do is kick him in his teeth or something like that. But you can't because it's just a little kid. All you got to do is recruit one of the other little kids. You see that one over there? I give you permission. Go. Go. It's okay for kids to do it to kids, but you can't do it as a parent. You just try to protect your kids. You try to do whatever you can to protect them from the world and from the influence of the world and from all the evilness and the wickedness and all the people out there. All they want to do is harm your kids, take your kids, put them in a child pornography, a prostitution or something. There's a lot of wickedness and evilness out there. And what you're doing as a parent is trying to protect your kids from that. And God says He's going to protect you. You may have 1,000 people fall on one side, 10,000 on the other side, but you'll just stand in the feathers of the Father. In the shadows of the Almighty. I'm protecting you. If God doesn't want it to happen in your life, it ain't going to happen. You got a guy that's going to protect you. I still remember this vividly, but we were at the beach with my father, that Galveston Beach over there when we used to live over there. And we used to have a little Honda 50 that we used to drive, me and my brother. I don't know why my parents let us have motorcycles at an early age, but they did, and we almost killed ourselves. I think that was part of the plan, but it did. We survived, and we brought that little Honda 50 down to the beach area, and me and my brother were the only ones there. My mom and dad were in the little trailer thing. All my sisters were gone. It was just us. And so me and my brother's older than me. He's 2 years older than me. We took off on the bike, went down the sand dunes and everything. And we went up one and came down, and it got kind of stuck on there. We're trying to get it out of there. And some young drunk dude came over there and started talking to him. And he told him, I want your bike. And, you know, I was kind of young. I didn't know what to say or do at that time. My brother said, no, it's ours. You can't have our bike. He said, I want your bike. Give me your bike. You know, I said, oh, no. So I ran from there and went back to Daddy. I knew where to go. I went back to the trailer where my daddy was, and I told him, Dad, there's the guy over there. He's trying to take our motorcycle. He said, what? They ain't going to take that motorcycle from you, boy. And he ran down there, and I didn't even want to go look and see what was going to happen. I just knew the right man was in charge now. I just sat back and ate one of his hamburgers and said, I know this ain't going to end well for that guy. I know this ain't going to end well for him. All I know is I saw my brother and my dad coming back on that bicycle, that motorcycle. Hey, everything's all right in my father's house. You know, God does that for us every single day. He takes care of you. He protects you because He gives you protection. He gives you provision. He gives you life. But, you know, one we don't want to always listen to is in Hebrews chapter 12. God gives us correction. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9 and 10 says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, that's our earthly fathers, which corrected us. And I hope your dad corrected you when you're not doing right. That was, you know, that we're supposed to discipline our kids. We don't want them growing up and being disrespectful to everybody and everything and ended up in jail or dead sometime at age 15. We want them to learn respect and learn and be respectful of their parents. So you discipline your kids. It's the right thing to do. And he says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Did you not, you know, did you ever try to speak back, talk back to your dad when he's beating you? When he's giving you a spanking? That ain't the time to do it. Now, my dad was old-fashioned dad, and he always wore a belt. He'd pull that belt, and I could hear him coming down the hall swinging like a fly swatter. You talk back to your mother, you're never going to do that again, boy. And I said, oh, no, here it comes. It was all over. That wasn't the I didn't say a word during that time. I was just pleading for mercy, Lord. Give me mercy. And God says, look, hey, you had heaven, you had earthly fathers which corrected you and you gave them reverence. Shall not much rather be, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily, for a few days, man, you've been chasing for a few days. Mine lasted for a few minutes. I was praising God for that. But it says, for they verily for a few days chasing us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit that we might be partakers of his holiness. When God corrects us, it's for our good that we can be holy like him. That's why he intervenes in your life sometimes. Says, Lord, I really wanted to do this. And God's saying, that is not for you to do. You are not to be involved in that. You are not supposed to be doing that. But God, you're not to be involved in that. You're not to, that's not part of your life. But, and then he starts to chasten you if you don't pay attention. And he'll get your attention and he'll show you as a child of God that he loves you more than you can love yourself. And he's doing it for your good so that you can be holy like he's holy. You can't be holy like God if you're involved in sin God doesn't want you to be involved in. If you're doing stuff in your life you're not supposed to be involved in that's against him and his word and his love, and he's going to correct you. And if you stay in that, he's going to continue to correct you and you're not going to like it. But it's for your good. Because if you give up on those things and you do right, it's going to make you more like him, which is what he wants. He wants you to be holy. He wants you to live a holy life. And God says, I'm going to give you correction. I'm so glad not only did my father give me life, provision, protection, and correction. It's all things that we need. But as we talked about this morning, God gives us love. Praise God. Do it all. He still loves us. Again, there's a lot of verses you can use. I'm using 1 John 4. Verse 10 and 19 says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation of our sins. What does that verse mean? That means before you met God, you didn't really care whether he loved you or not. You may have grew up like I did in a religion and talk about this, you know, God loves us and we love him. But it wasn't a heart-changing episode. It was just repetition. Until you met Jesus for the first time, realize that he truly loves you and you only, and he wants to be your father, him, your son, his son, and have a relationship you never had before. And all of a sudden you find out, I wasn't looking for God. He was looking for me. I wasn't searching for God. He was searching for me. I wasn't loving God. He was loving me. And he loved me so much, he sent his son to be that propitiation of our sins, meaning that he took our place, became our substitute, and died on the cross that we wouldn't have to die because we weren't righteous enough. He gave his son. He loves you so much. God showed me his love through his son. Verse 19 in that same chapter says, we love him because he first loved us. That's why we love him. The Bible tells us in John, you can't say, I love God and hate your brother. Because you can't have both. Because when you have the love of God and you realize how much you love him so much, and you'll love everything he loves. And he loves people to know him. He wants people to know him, and he wants people to have. He wants to have the biggest family ever, and have everybody come to the knowledge and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We love him because he first loved us. You ever heard that song? I don't know all the words. I just remember this one verse. He loved me like I was his only child. You remember that song? Oh man, it's a good one. He loved you like he was his only child. And, you know, some people don't like the song. They say, well, God, it's impossible. But, you know, the point is the relationship. If you only had one child, you would have none other to love. That's it. That's the one you have. And we all know as parents, we love all our kids. And God loves all his children. But what the song is saying is that God will treat you and love you just like you are the only one. There's no respecter of persons with God. He doesn't he doesn't hold someone up higher than someone else and love someone more than someone else. He loves everybody the same. As if you were it, if you were the only one, he would still die on the cross for your sins. Because he loves you. Our Father gave us love, correction, protection, provision in life. It shows us. He gave us an example and teaches us by example, just like your dad taught you by example. My Heavenly Father teaches me by example on how to be a giving son. See, I'm supposed to use this in my life for others. Your dad taught you, brought you out in this world so that you could be a good dad to your kids, so that you can pass it along. God doesn't want you just to see that he's a loving father. He wants you to see that you can be a loving son. God doesn't want you just to see that you can be a giving father, but that you can be a giving son and daughter. God wants to show you that I'm giving you it by example in my word, what I'm like to you. Now you go out and show other people what I'm like through you. God, my Father, is a giving Father. And God wants us to be giving people. Whether that's our life, whether that's our provision, whether that's our protection, correction, love. Show each other the love of Christ. Show each other the protection of God. Show each other the provisions that we give and meet each other's needs. God wants us to see the example that he's given us that we can go out and do the same thing. Our Father is a giving Father, and he wants you to be a giving person as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for a few moments. Just ask God to help us this morning to make the right action and make the right decision for him. Whatever it may be in your life that he may be talking to you about, he does want you to make a decision about that today. And I don't know what it may be, but I know this, God's here and he's speaking to us all, and he wants you to be holy like he's holy. Maybe that sometimes takes correction in our life. Maybe we have to come before our Lord and say, Lord, I know all this time I've been involved in stuff I shouldn't have been involved in. And we need to give it up to God and say, Lord, I need rescuing out of this. I don't want to do this no more. I don't want to be part of this anymore. Just bring me out of it. Maybe we just need God to correct us. And if he's been correcting you, all you got to do is repent and get right with God and tell him you're sorry and everything's going to be all right. You may think in your life that you're just struggling with all the craziness of this world, and how are you going to be able to live your life, and how are you going to be able to do what you're supposed to do? Remember, God is your protector. And he's not going to allow anything to happen to you that doesn't need to happen. He'll provide for you every need. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Just pray for the evil of the day. And just let God have his way. He'll protect you. He'll provide for you. He'll do what he needs to do. Now, maybe we need to tell God we're going to do that for him too. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we have here today. Ask that you'll bless our invitation time, that we can pray together as a body in Christ here, as a church that wants to honor you and exalt you. As people of God, that we can just come before you and pray for each other, that the needs may be met. that the help may be given, that the word may go out, that God may be glorified. Whatever the needs are in each person's heart, you know what they are. You know what they need to do. May they respond to you today for your good, for their good, for their profit, for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we pray together for one another, if you have a need you'd like to come to the altar for, we'll pray with you. You pray by yourself if you want. You just come and let God have His way right now. You meet God and He'll meet you right now. Whatever the need is, maybe you're here, you don't know 100% sure you're going to go to heaven when you die. All you got to do is ask Him. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner and I need saving today. And as best as I know how, I trust You as my Savior. All you got to do is ask Him. Whatever the need is, spend a moment with God right now. Let God meet that need.